and its initial instincts are, unfortunately, rather ham-fisted because they got used to crushing stuff or buying stuff. And dealing with stuff you could neither crush nor buy requires a whole rethinking of what to do, which is...
Despite the temptations of the commercial world, true to the spirit of the early hackers.
What they had in common was mainly love of excellence in programming. They wanted to make their programs that they used be as good as they could. They also wanted to make them do neat things. They wanted to be able to do something in a more exciting way than anyone believed possible and show, look how wonderful this is. I bet you didn't believe this could be done.
Here I come, here I come again. Represent the king who brought you truth and rights from the beginning. Never had no sin. Teach me how to shine my light from deep within. Let the freedom bells ring and let everybody sing. Make a joyful sound, keep the people moving. Come a long way, still a long way to climb. Hold the torch of freedom, time to let it shine, shine.
My destiny is predestined.
Satisfaction's guaranteed.
I'm far away from the finish line.
It will get hotter than July.
When this little light of mine,
I'm really gonna let it shine. You hold the torch of freedom, let it shine. Running with the torch of freedom, let it shine. You hold the torch of freedom, let it shine.
And when it's all over, those immense revenues net out to a few millions or tens of millions of dollars a year that can be spent on lawyers and strategists to eradicate the freedom of free software, which is just one tiny little project over at the edge of what it takes to beat the brains out of the competition, which you have always assumed you had some kind of God-given right to do. We have no cost of making software. Bright people all over the world clamor to make the software because they want to. People all over the world clamor to make the software because they want to. And we have no cost of distributing software, cost of making software. Bright people all over the world clamor to make the software because they want to. And we have...
You hold the torch of freedom, let it shine. Torch of freedom, let it shine. Hold the torch.
1980s, it was possible for people to speculate, speculatively assume that we couldn't possibly do such a big job because nobody would write the software if they weren't getting paid. Well, now we know from experience that lots of people will work on free software even if they don't get paid. And at the same time, a number of people have found ways to get paid to write free software. So we've now shown that we can do very large jobs We can produce a broad spectrum of software that is very high quality and that users like to use. Well, I think that...
And we have no cost of distributing software because massive multinational corporations that know how to vend IT at levels of skill and daring that Microsoft is hard-pressed to match clamor to distribute the software at their own expense because of profit. And we have no cost of protecting the software because there's no barbed wire in the system. You can just take it and be free about it. We have to protect people's right to make it, and we have to protect the freedom of it. But protecting freedom is a whole lot less costly than stringing barbed wire over everything and having to fight everybody who seeks to be able to hack. And so when it's all left over, we have a couple of millions of dollars a year for lawyers and strategists to make software free no matter what Microsoft says. And this is the funny part of the story, is that we have been focused on doing this job, keeping software free no matter what Microsoft does, for 15 years. Microsoft's only just begun to focus on what to do about freedom. And its initial instincts are, unfortunately, rather ham-fisted because they got used to crushing stuff or buying stuff. And dealing with stuff you could neither crush nor buy requires a whole rethinking about what to do. And its initial instincts are, unfortunately, rather ham-fisted because they got used to crushing stuff or buying stuff. And dealing with stuff you could neither crush nor buy requires a whole rethinking about what to do. Which is kind of like the how to rethink software engineering to make a product better in a world where sharing has been proven to be more effective than not sharing. In general, this is part of the overall institutional challenge of being Microsoft. In a way, we downsized before we ever started. Whereas they have to go through the whole agonizing transformation of the industry from inside. In order to reorganize internally at the level of radicalism that is necessary in order to compete effectively in the 21st century, they're going to have to cease to be the Microsoft in which they've all grown up. And that's a very, very powerful and difficult risk to take.
So the alternative to free software is proprietary software. Proprietary software that subjugates and divides the users. That's what's wrong about it. It's because it divides and subjugates people. It doesn't respect users' freedom. It doesn't allow users to be part of a community, and that's why it's wrong. It's not wrong for programmers to make money, and as long as they can make money in a way that respects the freedom of other people, I think that's good. After all, I'm a programmer, and I'm not unhappy when I make some money, but I only do it in ways that respect the freedom of other people.
Back you hold the torch of freedom, let it shine.
Running with the torch of freedom, let it shine.